All right, Chris. I don't know about you, but I kind of hate wrestling right now. We've been doing this for...
I was at the convention for like 7 hours.
Yep.
You went from Evolve to Ring of Honor.
Yes, I did.
And then you came back. You actually made it back to the hotel before CZW was over, which I did not think was going to happen. CZW decided to take an intermission at 10:30 p.m. tonight. Extraordinary.
How does that make you feel, Jerome? At 10:30 at night, you were at an intermission.
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things when you get up at 5 in the morning, and then you have a show start a half hour late, you know, as Evolve did, and then CZW decides that they're going to take an intermission at 10:30, and that's not to mention the fact that Kaiju Big Battle was running a show immediately after CZW. I'm not sure what to think. So this weekend is off to a very interesting start, to say the least.
Absolutely. Why don't we start with Evolve? So Evolve 19 took place.
Well, I think what I want to say first, though, is I think what tonight shows in so many ways that there are a lot of extraordinary wrestlers who are getting a chance to sort of show what they can do. AR Fox won the Evolve title, is the first Evolve champion. Jay Briscoe is the Ring of Honor champion, well deserving, you know, for a guy who's been there since day one. It's pretty extraordinary that Briscoe and Fox won these belts, but so much of what surrounded that is negative. You know, the idea that some people were not able to see the pinfall in the Briscoe match, and in the Evolve, at the Evolve show, it started late. A lot of people were leaving Evolve to go to Ring of Honor. So it casts a shadow.
And there were pay-per-view issues for the
Evolve
show.
And that's the thing, is that it was compromised by pay-per-view issues for both. So you have these great achievements by guys who deserve it, but people were not able to see it. And this is one of the biggest weekends in the history of independent wrestling. For so many companies, they're running one of the biggest shows of the year. They're putting them on iPay-per-view. And for Evolve and Ring of Honor to both crap the bed like this as they did tonight, that's not a good start to the weekend.
It's not a good start, but there are some contrasting issues with both. I mean, we're going to talk about this. The match quality between Evolve and Ring of Honor, I think there's a lot to be said there. Of course, with the caveat that, you know, everyone at PWP has the utmost respect for every wrestler. Obviously, anyone that takes this and, you know, does this as, you know, for their life, essentially, and is living the dream, so to speak. So, you know, hopefully nothing we say, we never mean it with any malice intent, but, you know, it's got to be said.
I mean, there's a separation between the person, the people behind it, and what's going on. If I pay for a service, I want the service done well.
Right.
You know, when I get on the airplane, I am putting my trust in the pilots that they're going to get me to my destination safely and in a timely fashion. And if that doesn't happen, then I feel like I deserve a refund, or I deserve some sort of there deserve to be some sort of repercussions. It's the same thing when you're buying a pay-per-view.
Yes.
And you expect to watch it, and then you can't watch it for whatever reason. There has to be... We have to figure a way out so that these iPay-per-views can come off without a hitch. Otherwise, we need to stop doing them, because we're frustrating fans. People are getting pissed off, justifiably so. And I'm not blaming fans at all for being angry.
I feel bad for anyone that missed the ending to Jay Briscoe defeating Kevin Steen. You know, I'm not going to lambast Ring of Honor as much as I will Evolve, just because, as far as I know, the issues were mainly at the end, albeit an important end. But as far as I know, the rest of the time it was fine. But, you know, I feel bad for the guys that missed it, because live, it was incredible. You guys missed the pinfall. From what I can tell, you saw it coming back, so at least you saw the crowd reaction. It was amazing. And I think that's another topic I want to bring up, just the contrast between the two venues, the fans that were live. It was incredible to be at Ring of Honor, and then being at Evolve directly before. You know, nothing against the fans involved. I really think they wanted to get into the product, and some really tried. And just, you know, the quality of the matches just wasn't there, and there were some very questionable storytelling decisions.
I think that's where the problem with Evolve comes in. Evolve has so many other issues that that Ring of Honor didn't have.
And Ring of Honor did have one. We'll talk about when we get there, but there was the main event, as good as it was, it started off interestingly, and I'll explain.
So yeah, we went to Evolve. You went to Ring of Honor, I went to CZW, and the thing about CZW is, from an in-ring perspective, this was probably the best show since Cage of Death. There was a lot of really good wrestling on this show. There was a really good tag team match between Irish Airborne as they wrestled Tommy End and Michael Dante. Sammy Callahan and Brian Kendrick was good. Colt Cabana and Greg Excellent was a completely different match than anything else that I saw tonight. And the opener was extraordinary. And AR Fox, I mean...
Was it Aerial Assault?
Aerial Assault. It was a box.
Yes, with the box of... Yes.
So we got AR Fox and the AR Box.
Nice.
So
I am looking forward to viewing this on a VOD. I really am.
And I think it's funny, just as we sit here and we talk and we think about this, the one company that got iPay-per-view tonight in 2013 is RF Video. Think about that.
There's an irony there. There's like a hand of fate there that says something. I don't know what it says.
I don't know what it says, but...
It says something.
They got it right. From everything I've seen...
But I think we can both say, with full honesty, if something happens during the Kaiju Big Battle IPPU, people will riot.
Well, I don't think they can riot from their computers, but...
Hey.
I don't know. As we're recording this, Kaiju Big Battle is just getting started, and... I gotta actually check and see if Des Delgadillo is doing the live coverage and if everything is working out. So why don't you sort of talk about Evolve?
All right.
Sort of start and talk about how it began.
Yeah. So we're sitting there, and I want to say, you know, it was really awesome to meet a ton of people. Hopefully you guys are listening. I'm assuming you do, and it was really awesome meeting all of you. And so the show starts with Rich Swann coming out, and he's cutting this promo, and it's basically supposed to pump up the crowd. Except, at this point, the show is starting about 32 minutes late. And people are getting angsty. There are chants of, we want wrestling, and Rich Swann is telling them to hold on. People were tweeting at us at PW Ponderings that they didn't even have a video stream. So that kind of gave us the hint, oh, there must be a video problem going on. And then finally, some mysterious voice, I'm still not sure who that voice was, but somebody said, oh, are you guys ready for wrestling? Let's get this started. And the four-way started off hot. I mean, for as much as the fans were wanting the wrestling, when it was Samuel Del Sol, he really brought the crowd to their feet. And I think people wanted to get into this Evolve. You know, it's historic. It's the first Evolve champion being crowned. And this match...
We talked a lot about this.
We did. And I would say... it was short and sweet, and I think the match delivered what it had to, because the crowd was angsty, and it went as far to get a, you know, the pops were tremendous. What the forward, you know, obviously with the forward contestants of Rich Swann and, you know, Samuel Del Sol, I think it was crazy. And of course, Sammy Callahan, he won via submission, which would belie his match later on, and Jerome, I don't know where to go from there, because it started off well.
Yeah, I mean, then, it looked like they were recovering well. I mean, the show started 27 minutes late. People were really angry. I mean, and justifiably so. I mean, the thing is that I don't think people would have been as angry, but Gabe sort of put himself out there and said that we guarantee that the show is going to be over so that you can get to wherever you want to go, be it CZW, be it PWS, or be it Ring of Honor. And when you make a commitment like that, you really have to stick to it, because, you know, people, they want to do all of the wrestling that they can in this weekend. People are coming from all over the world, Australia, Ireland, England, Japan. And if you say something like that, then you really have to live up to that, or else you're being really dishonest with your customers, both who are watching on iPay-per-view and who are on... who are at the live show. So I think that was an issue right away. I think the four guys in the opener did as good of a job as possible to sort of get things back on track. But then, you know, we were put in a situation where we had a promo after this match with Tony Nese being announced as the newest signee.
I don't even know what that means. He signed to WWE Live.
I assume he signed a contract, which is fine.
Sure.
I mean, it's fine.
We need to see that.
But to me, it's one of those things where... You have to make decisions about getting a show ended on time. And this show ended at around 7 o'clock. If it starts on time...
If it had started at 4,
it would have been done by 6:30, and everybody would have gotten the Ring of Honor
yep,
on time.
We would have been on the bus at the time that we got on the bus anyway, because, as you noted, I, myself, you know, and a couple other people, we left early. We had no choice. We weren't going to miss Supercard of Honor. You know, we weren't going to stay late. We weren't going to watch the match. And I feel bad, because some of us left right before, I believe, the Young Bucks versus... the Super Smash Brothers, and almost everyone at the bus stop was saying, God, I wish we didn't have to leave during that match.
Right, that was a match that people were looking forward to, because those two teams have had such a great feud in PWG, and we've seen them that live right there, but...
So what was after Tony Nese? Was it the tag match?
It was Johnny Gargano. No. It was AR Fox and John Davis.
Okay, okay.
This is where other issues pertaining to the iPay-per-view took over.
Yes, this...
So you want to talk about it, or do you want me to talk about it?
No, okay. John Davis...
It's not over.
No, he is... And in little bits, he was in this match, and this is why. So, John Davis came out, and I have all the respect in the world for him, but he came out to little or no reaction. Fox comes out, people love him. They have a basic power versus speed match. And then something weird happened at the end. They decided to knock out the referee, which people started chanting bullshit to, because we all knew where this was headed. And it wasn't
So what happened first is that Davis was trying to use a foreign object of some sort. I can't remember what it was. What did he do?
Oh, okay. It was the, not the guardrail. He brought out a table, right? Because it was on the other side of the ring. We weren't,
awesome
I couldn't
bomb.
See it. Yeah, we couldn't see it, but we could, you know, we could see him taking out a table on the other side. So he's going to do the awesome bomb.
The referee pulls Fox's leg.
Yeah, so imagine this. In Evolve, where it's supposed to be sporting, it's supposed to be ethical, it's where the wrestling matters. The ref got involved. Pulled down AR Fox, John Davis goes for a clothesline on Fox, hits the referee on accident, then another referee came out, and wasn't the bell rung before the second referee came out? And that's when people started...
I honestly don't know.
I think that's what happened. I think the bell was rung by this kid on the side, and people were angry. They were pissed, because this is a match that's important, and you end it like that, and then another ref came out and officially declared AR Fox the winner via disqualification. Let's talk about that.
Is it
a guy who is going into your semifinals? He won his last match via disqualification. You're putting him in a weakened position. It doesn't.
And this is your first title tournament. And
exactly.
This title tournament has been built up for 3 years. This is the culmination of a giant storyline of these records supposedly meaning something, and then you have this disqualification finish. Where John Davis, someone who is not over, is being protected for whatever reason.
And what was funny is that he actually got over at this moment. The fans wanted him to kill the referee. And then he was getting over.
He was finally getting over as a babyface.
They were chanting for him. They wanted him to kill the referee. And he was about to. And then the other ref stopped him. And it was like, so instead of making maybe a call on the fly and saying, hey, you know what? He's getting over. Because he was cutting a promo. And he was actually getting over with it. And then they decided, oh, no, let's give AR Fox the win via disqualification.
Well, the funny part is then he went heel right away again and said that he made reference to if everybody else has to, if I have to suffer, then you have to suffer too. I love the implication there that John Davis wrestling in front of people is suffering.
Yes, there had to be some kind of subtext there. Anyway, so the aftermatch, that was the tag match. So understand that at this point, the show started half an hour late. It was about 5:15. Yeah, when the Gargano and Kendrick versus the Gentlemen's Club started, and you could just tell they were stalling in the beginning of the match. People were yelling, "Start the match! Quit stalling!" Because we all knew we have about 45 minutes. Some of us want to get to Ring of Honor.
Right.
And this match went about, I would say, a little under 20 minutes, and people did not understand. If any match could have been shortened, especially with what their goal was at the end, which was Brian Kendrick basically defeated the Gentleman's Club, you know.
I mean, I think this is a match that's going to play much better on DVD, because I think this was a far better match than...
Yeah, no,
I think everyone is giving it credit for it. I understand why the fans were angry.
Exactly.
Don't get me wrong.
Exactly. The match was good. If we were not constrained by, most of us were looking at our watches saying, oh my God, when are we going to get out of here?
Right.
Then this match was very good. A lot of people liked it. Drew Gulak really shined in it. Orange Cassidy was tremendous in the, whatever he was trying to do.
It was a good match.
It was a good match.
The performers, yeah. You know, I think it
was handicapped by everyone looking at their watches and everyone wanting
to... But when I talk about sort of the performers being hurt by what's going on in the exteriors, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You have four wrestlers working very hard, putting on a good match,
yep.
And they're getting crapped upon because of circumstances that they can't control.
Yeah, you could even tell that at some point Kendrick was getting a little frustrated at some of the chants.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, we don't blame him because he was trying to work a good match, and it was a good match, except that everyone was worried about what time we get out.
And things only got worse in the next match. The next match was even worse, I think, in some ways, than the Davis-Fox match because... So Sammy Callahan goes on the apron, and he starts selling his leg right away.
It was weird, yeah.
And Kevin Ford is like torn ACL.
So there were eight of us sitting in a row.
And none of us saw what happened.
Because we were all looking down, either tweeting or texting each other to figure out what our plans were. So then at first...
Because it's the entrance. Nobody expects anything to happen during the entrance.
Right.
So Sammy Callahan...
He just started selling, and none of us saw it. And it was like...
It's amazing how none of us saw it.
Yeah, it was like, did he trip? Why is he selling his leg all of a sudden? Did he trip on the ropes? We could not imagine what happened in that split second.
And given Sammy Callahan's potential contractual situation...
It was ridiculous.
It was almost a little worrisome, given what happened. But as it turned out, it was a work. And he wrestled against Chuck Taylor. And instead of Chuck Taylor hooking in the single leg crab and winning in about 2 minutes to save time, we got... An elongated match.
About 7 or 8 or 10, maybe.
7, 8, 10 minutes. And it made no sense on, like, three different levels. The first level of which is Callahan winning. The second level is Callahan's a heel in Evolve. The third level is that in the third match, in the finals, Callahan didn't sell his leg barely, if at all. And he was wrestling as a heel.
Yes, it was. I mean, there were several fans around us that kept pointing out, you're selling the wrong way, or you're doing something with the wrong leg.
There was some of that, too.
And, I mean, okay, we understand, you know, this is subjective. We understand that the wrestlers, and like I said, you know, we respect everyone, you know, that busts their ass for this business. But we gotta call a spade a spade. And if we notice, hey, wait a minute, you were tripping on your right, but Chuck Taylor was just working over your left, and then working over your right, and it was just too noticeable to not mention. So, you know, I just feel that, you know, we're not trying to belittle the wrestlers, but we have to bring it up because it was obvious.
We're going to totally eat on the air.
Yes, we're being as unprofessional because it's about midnight. Actually, it's about 12:42 a.m. and we're hungry. Okay, so after that was when I left and Jerome had to take over duties. And quite a few people left with me. They
a lot
were
of
going
people
to
left.
The bus stop. They were
no, a lot of people left after Eric Cannon and Scott Reed. And what a match to leave.
Tell me about it, Jerome. Tell me about it.
This match was something else. I mean, I said it was the match I was least looking forward to for the whole weekend. And they just inserted every trick in the book to try to get this over, and it just wasn't working. Scott Reed, not over. Kale Conley, not over. Trina Michaels, why is she there? Larry Dallas, same thing. It's just really frustrating to see this act that has been involved in Dragon Gate USA for so long just eat up so much heat on these shows for no good reason. And
so it went a little while, huh?
It went a little while, and it's just unnecessary. And they incorporated UHA Nation into this match, and I couldn't help but think, you know, if UHA Nation wrestles Eric Cannon in a 5-minute match, I think everybody's significantly happier. Mostly because the scene isn't involved on the show. But this was a match. I mean, Marty Bell comes out and attacks Trina Michaels. And I have nothing against Marty Bell, but Trina Michaels, why?
Do you think they were setting up a tag match? Like an intergender?
Oh, God, if they
are. I'm just asking.
Oh, you just made me a little sick to think about that, actually. But, I mean, Marty Bell's a wrestler. Trina Michaels isn't. Like, Trina Michaels is on the apron for some reason for, like, 2 minutes, and she didn't do anything. And I was really confused about what she was doing there. This match was so strange. I mean, for so many reasons. So that was a complete waste of time, with the exception of the return of UHA Nation, who I'm glad is back, and I hope is pushed as the future of Evolve and DGUSA before he gets signed by WWE. But this time next year, he's gone. I fully expect him to be in WWE next year.
He is a talented man. I'm just saying, he's
someone who can move like that, who has that body type.
Jesus.
Yeah, he's gonna get signed. So then we had the Young Bucks and the Super Smash Brothers. This was really good.
That had to live up to expectation.
So many times it was really good.
You know.
It was really good. I mean, not as good as their PWG matches, but still, you know. Still right around that 3.5, 3.75 star level of match, and that's what you want in a semi-main event. You know, you don't want to blow your load, and you know these two teams work well so well together.
Did you count super kicks?
I did not count super kicks, but there weren't very many for a Young Bucks match. They were saving them. But the thing that the thing that struck me about this match is that the Super Smash Brothers defeated the Young Bucks.
Wait, what?
Yeah, the SSB won with the fatality. Even though the Young Bucks are challenging for the Open United Gate titles tomorrow. And the Young Bucks, if you look at their record, they're now 2-2 between DDG USA and Evolve. So I was a little bit confused. Gabe does this.
That's another interesting. Why would you, going into a title defense, why would you have the guys lose? What?
You're asking the wrong person.
I mean, and especially since Gabe, you know, we're not trying to say, like, we're blaming Gabe or whatever.
Yeah,
but
are.
He put himself out there when he said that this was going to be the most watched Evolve show on iPay-Per-View and the most, you know, attended. You've got to make things tight. They got to make sense. They have to.
Well, it's the same thing. We forgot to talk about AR Fox and Ricochet, which was the best match on the show.
Oh, my God. That match.
It was really good.
Damn, that is.
But the finish was so jacked because it made AR Fox look weak again.
So here, let's put this out there. Ricochet was on the top rope about to do, say, a moonsault position, so his back towards the ring.
He missed the 630 is what he missed.
Right. AR Fox pushed him out into the crowd. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, I think we all saw that PWG trailer like that. Then AR Fox flies over the turnbuckle onto Ricochet.
Right.
And then the match ends with a roll-up, essentially. What? And a similar thing happened at Ring of Honor. I will not forget to point that out to you when we get to that. Very similar.
I think this is a bad independent habit to have matches go 20 minutes and then end on a roll-up. It's a bad habit.
Yeah,
and I don't like it.
They kill each other.
It happened at PWG. It's the same thing. It happened at DDT4 like 4 times.
Roll-up. We gotta start keeping the count. But yeah, no. We don't want to sound like we're trying to persuade you to not watch Evolve, but if you do, watch it for this match.
You know what?
And watch it for the Gentleman's Club and the Kendrick and Gargano.
I'll be honest. If you're somebody who ordered this show, or if you went to this as your very first opportunity, if this was your very first live Evolve show,
was mine.
Why would you ever go back based on what you saw tonight? I wouldn't. I mean, I'm going to continue to support the product because I like a lot of the wrestlers that are involved, but I could totally see a scenario where someone who is trying out this product for the first time doesn't want to ever watch it again.
Right,
because of the iPay-Per-View problems are one thing. I mean, that's a major part of the equation, but
the storyline and the content, and it has to be said, you cannot just avoid the topic and go, oh, they're two good wrestlers, just let them do what they do. Yes, of course they're good and artistic at what they do, but you can't just hide it underneath the rug. You can't just say it didn't happen.
I mean, Gabe is a really good matchmaker, but his booking the last 3 years has had a lot to desire. And I think anyone who's watched any of his DGUSA and Evolve shows would say that.
So now we're up to the main event, right? After the Young Bucks.
Yeah.
Super Smash Brothers.
Nobody saw except for me.
So was.
So I can talk about this match, but you guys.
Yes, we weren't there. We were at another show.
You were at another show, which you're going to talk extensively about. But
I am.
But you know what? I think the thing about this match is, if you take it out of context, if you separate it from the rest of the show, it's probably the best match of the entire show because they really worked hard. And AR Fox obviously has a death wish based on some of the bumps he's taking.
That man wants to die. Some of the bumps he took against Ricochet were insane.
And it was worse against Callahan because he was being tossed against guardrails. You know that spot he does when he does the... When he does the 450, but he misses and he rolls through.
Right.
He did that on the concrete on the floor, and it was disgusting.
His knees, his spine.
He doesn't care about his spine. He obviously doesn't care about his spine at all.
Is he going to be walking at 50?
Probably not.
That's... Anyway, though, so the quality of the match was good.
So you take this out of context, it's really good. The problem is that when you look at it within context, you have Sami Callihan, who's coming off an injury angle. Now he's playing a heel against the babyface Aaron Fox, and Sami Callihan is not selling this injured leg. Or, and if he does, he's like gimping around for like a minute. And when you're telling a story of this injured leg in one match, and then you forget about the next match, why should I care about this? Especially given that he's a heel. I mean, this was just...
Bizarre. They should have started in the four-way in the beginning of the show and had someone really
look over his leg. Callihan should have never won any matches in the tournament.
Because
it was obvious that Callihan wasn't winning by the finals. It was blatantly obvious, both for so many reasons. But, I mean, to me, I would have definitely preferred they switched the brackets around so that he could have met Ricochet in the finals, or that he met Samurai Del Sol or Rich Swann in the finals. I think would have been a more fitting end than what this was.
Man, that match would have been insane. If the Aaron Fox and Ricochet had been the finals, crap, that would have, people would be talking.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people are talking about the match.
And I think people were appreciative of Fox, and you know, I'm happy the Fox won. For so many reasons, obviously I picked him, so I get to pat myself on the back, which I'm doing right now.
Yeah, well, my pick, John Davis, got screwed.
Chris, it's a work sport. You can't say that.
No, this was real. I feel it.
Still real to you, damn it?
Yes, it's still real to me. There was a ref knockout. They can't plan for something like that.
Poor Chris. I don't want to tell you when there's no Santa Claus.
Shut up.
Oh, no. Poor Chris. Guys, it's been a long day.
It absolutely has. But...
So after the match, the Young Bucks attack, and they set up the United Gate title match, and I'm hoping that the Young Bucks win later tonight. That's what I'm hoping for.
You mean tomorrow?
Tonight.
Well, tonight. Yes.
It's 12:55 on 4/6/2013. So in about 12 hours, I'm hoping the Young Bucks win the tag belts.
Absolutely. Alright, so now we're going to delve into Ring of Honor, which is going to be majorly me, because I was there at the show.
And it gives me a chance to eat, and then when I talk about CZW, then Chris is going to eat.
Exactly. So, this was my first show at the Hammerstein. Let me tell you, it lived up to every expectation I'd ever had. So, really appreciate that, guys. I was even recognized by a few people and two girls, which was amazing.
Don't tell your fiance that.
Right. Anyway, so there was a dark match, so we were told, and I did not catch that. Obviously, we got there. Everyone was already seated in by the time my group got there.
Damn it, Gabe.
Exactly. But anyway, so the show opened up, and it was a countdown. People were loving it. This was a raucous crowd. 1,800 plus. It was a sellout show. There really was not that many seats available left, and probably it was from people who just didn't show up. You know, most likely. I can't imagine, as sparse as it was, that these were seats that weren't sold. So,
how many people were late?
There were quite a few people still coming in during the second show. So we'll talk about that crowd thing going on. Okay, so the show opened up. Artie Evans, he came out with QT, starts talking about the mystery partners, hinting it could be Tanahashi. I hope you all get that reference. Because seriously,
RingofHonor.com.
Ring of Honor. Get your shit together.
Fail.
So, he came to it was Tanahashi, then Lacey Von Erich, and then he announced, in what I'm going to give myself some points here, I'm going to pat myself slightly on the back, I said he was going to pick the mysterious and handsome stranger, he picked himself. So...
I'm not saying the connection.
No, okay, yeah, you're right. No, I was completely off on there. So then they went up against Tadarius Thomas and ACH. That tag team is over. ACH and Tadarius Thomas, I know this is probably like beating a dead horse.
Right?
Right? They are freaking over.
Couldn't be because ACH is good, right? Couldn't be.
You know, I don't even really know. Who else does he wrestle? You know what I mean? I don't know.
It's not like he's wrestled in AIW, AAW, CCW, and DGUSA.
Exactly. So Tadarius Thomas and ACH, obviously they went over because they were going to be the more consistent tag team. But it was a fun match. I enjoyed it. The crowd got in, and the crowd was really into it. And we were told that there were already chants for the pre-show matches of, like, this is awesome and Ring of Honor, but the crowd really ate up this match because it was fun. It was everything you'd want in an opener. Good action with little bits of comedy to make it lighthearted and get people in the mood. And, you know, there obviously there's an open bar in the Hammerstein. So, hey.
More importantly than anything else. Exactly. There's also a bar at the convention center, most importantly. I took advantage of that during Evolve and CZW.
Thank God. Okay, so then Shelton Benjamin came out and, you know, did the whole thing. Charlie Austin was going to be there, and he kind of was talking to Cheeseburger in the ring. And then, I guess, can we call this a surprise return of Mike Bennett? It's been 3 months. I haven't seen him. So, the surprise return.
We can do whatever we want.
Surprise return of Mike Bennett. And it was fun, and it was nice to see Maria, and not as nice to see Brutal Bob Evans. But this was a good match, too. Solid. Mike Bennett won, which, obviously, you know, I hope no one's reading too much into that. You know, this is a standalone match. Neither guy is going to really be around, you know. So, just let it be. And maybe, you know, it's kind of covering their butt, too. If Shelton Benjamin is gone, then Mike Bennett got the win. If Mike Bennett's gone and Shelton, for whatever reason, stays, you know, he has something to fight for. You know, he lost and he can go for it. But it was a solid match. Didn't hurt the crowd at all. The crowd, you know, kind of quiet, kind of, you know. They liked it, but the next match. This is going to be a shocking statement, but Michael Elgin versus Jay Lethal pretty much stole the show at that moment.
Didn't I say that's exactly what would happen?
Exactly. This match, my God. And we're going to talk, okay, so we're going to talk about this aspect a little bit later. But at the end, so many near finishes off of guys hitting their moves. Michael Elgin won with a super Elgin bomb, followed up by the turnbuckle bomb, followed up by his regular Elgin bomb. Jay Lethal was dead. Just dead. But the match was fantastic. I know that, you know, all of us at Peter P have said, Jay Lethal, he's missing something, but when it comes to the in-ring, he's got it. And if these guys have this kind of a match and one of them is the Ring of Honor champion, I'm not going to say who, you know, either one of them, this match could main event any show and no one would complain. It was that good. At this point, I was a little worried that it almost would burn up the crowd because the crowd dueling chants, we were really into this. And I was at the very top. I was in section 203 for any of you that have been to the Hammerstein Ballroom. So it's pretty much at the top, that's in the, you know, nosebleed section. But I could still see everything. And it was a fantastic match. Scum attacked after, and that led into the 10-man tag, which was a little odd. So we had Red Titus, Jimmy Rave, Cliff Compton, Jimmy Jacobs, and Rhino. They defeated BJ Whitmer, Mark Briscoe, Caprice and Cedric Alexander, and Mike Mondo. I will say the reception from Mike Mondo, not great. I mean, at least in my section and the section next to us. Maybe some audio down by the ring. Maybe that was better, but I doubt it because he really wasn't getting any reaction. Scum won.
He's not over. Just, you can say it.
Some people like Mike Mondo, Jerome. He has Twitter followers. They're very passionate.
Do you see the retweets he does? I don't, because I don't follow him on Twitter.
So the biggest thing that happened in this match is Caleb Seltzer got beat up.
Hold on. Caleb Seltzer got beat up? That's the best.
By Steve Corino.
That's the best news I've heard all
the
night.
The best part about this, Nigel McGuinness was on commentary for the rest of the evening. It was the best thing ever.
So, the iPay-per-view probably benefited greatly from Nigel McGuinness's presence.
Wow. When Steve Corino threw Caleb Seltzer into the guardrail, the crowd popped. And I say this with all respect to Caleb Seltzer.
Not very good.
I say that with all respect to him. I'm sure he's a nice guy. The crowd popped. Then we went to intermission.
I'm not taking those bumps, by the way. Caleb Seltzer can do it, but I will never be thrown into a guardrail. So don't worry about that.
I hope Adam Test is listening to this.
I hope it's too. I won't do it.
So when we come back, really good, solid, you know, technical match. Carl Anderson went up against Roderick Strong. People were really into this. Even, I will say, and this obviously per my section, there were several people in front of me. Didn't have a shit clue who Carl Anderson was.
Ring of Honor didn't do a very good job of pushing his presence.
They really didn't. By the time this match was over, they were chanting for Anderson to win. Because, okay. And I mean, hey, and I think that says something. Whatever it says about what he can do in the ring, and as good as Roderick Strong is really also. Good. And Roderick Strong as well. Roderick Strong really did a lot in this match, too. And, Carl Anderson defeated Roger Strong, which I'm not going to say it's an upset, because I think anyone that knows Carl Anderson knows that that was always an option. But to the crowd that didn't know him, this was an upset. And like I said, the people in front of me were chanting for him to win and were happy when he did, even though at the beginning, literally several of them were like, who the fuck is this guy? They had no clue. They even thought his music was a little weird. Because, you know, it's the New Japan music. It's a little digital. Whatever. Anyway, good match.
Technocentric?
Yes. Solid match. Next up, though, Jerome, I know you're looking forward to this. Matt Taven. He defended his TV title against Matt Hardy and Adam Cole. It was a three-way elimination match. The match was good, and the booking was solid, but the finishes were just weird. Well, okay, so this is how I'm going to explain it. So, Cole essentially went, there was this weird, kind of getting revenge on Matt Hardy for using the low blow. I think Todd Sinclair was the referee for this match. He was distracted, and Cole hit Matt Hardy with a low blow, kicked him essentially in the jollies.
Did he tell him to suck his dick?
Oh, there were some chants.
Good.
Even though there were children around.
Oh, that's not good.
No, but it is what it is. The crowd was having fun, and maybe a little bit of the libations were getting to them at this point. So essentially, yes. So he hit a low blow and a small package to eliminate Hardy. And everyone, I don't think there was a single person that booed this. They cheered. And then Steve Corino got into it with Nigel McGuinness a little bit, kind of teasing that.
I guess Nigel McGuinness told Matt Hardy eat a donut or something on commentary.
Yes.
That's what I read on Twitter. I can't.
Yeah, I don't deny that. So there was a donut chant, and everyone up in my area was kind of wondering, you know, what was going on. So
that's
obviously awesome. People heard it.
Okay. That's awesome.
So then at the end, so the referee had his back turned, and all he saw was Taven hit his DDT for the win. But what actually happened was, because of the distraction, you know, a little bit of shenanigans with Taven went. So essentially, you know, you got to think about this. It kind of makes sense in the two heels, one face. But at the same time, the finish was a little lackluster. And when you're trying to put over a guy like Taven, who, you know, you're building him.
Taven
needs
all the help.
He needs solid wins. I will say, though, it did not hurt that Scarlett Bordeaux was at his side. A lot of the fans like her. I'm just saying. It didn't hurt him, because I think she actually was over more than he was, slightly. And I don't know what that says, but it says something. Anyway.
It's best to comment on that.
No one was ready for Hoopla time, though. No one. No.
They were ready for booby time, maybe, but not.
Oh, yet. There were many chants of take your top off, take your pants off. Yeah. So, it is what it is.
Classic crowd.
Anyway. I'm not going to say whether I was part of that crowd or not. So
Testa was. I know he was.
Absolutely. Okay, so next up.
I really hope he listens to this now.
One of the best matches of the night, but this is what I'm talking about with the weird finish. So Red Dragon defended against American Wolves. We're talking every finish in the book. Both teams stole the other team's finishes. We're talking the brainbuster kick to the head combos, the super kicks with German suplexes combos. We're talking everything. Every freaking thing they could think of.
It didn't end in a roll-up.
Yeah. Fish was outside the ring. Davey kind of ran at him. He did an enziguri kick to Davey's head. And from my vantage point, it looked like it missed. I don't know how it came across in the pay-per-view, but from my vantage point, it wasn't flush. And then O'Reilly rolled up Davey for the finish, for the pin. So we're talking every conceivable killing move.
I hate.
And all of a sudden,
when roll-ups go 20 minutes and then do a roll-up finish.
But the match was good.
I think roll-ups have their place, but I think they're overused in independent wrestling overall.
Yeah, especially after.
I really do. I think Ring of Honor, I think the companies that are most guilty of it, I think are Ring of Honor, PWG, and Evolve. I think those are the three that are guilty the most.
Yeah, because if you think about it, at least roll-ups kind of make sense in the Chikara style, because it's Lucha. It's very grapple-based, and it...
Well, Chikara doesn't use them either, and if they use a roll-up, they use it for a purpose. I mean,
right.
Mike Quackenbush uses the alligator clutch, but that's a different
roll-up
than, you know, just rolling someone up out of nowhere.
Right.
And plus, I think it fits Quack's style to win that way, because he doesn't hurt his opponents. He outsmarts them and out-wrestles them. So it makes more sense when Quack or a lot of the Chikara wrestlers do it, but when...
Now, I will say, though, the wrestling in this match, though... Was
really good, I'm sure.
Oh, it was fantastic. The strikes were loud. The super kicks were flowing like, it was crazy.
Don't get too excited on me, buddy.
Hey, if Adam Tester was counting super kicks at the night, this was the match for him. But it kind of led into... Now, okay, main event, we've already spoiled it. Jay Briscoe, most deserving man on the roster, won.
I don't think anyone's going to argue that this is one of the best moments in the history of Ring of Honor. I don't think anyone... can argue that Jay Briscoe is undeserving.
No, but okay, but this is the point. This is going to sound like nitpicking, but follow me here.
No, I think you should. I think you have a right to nitpick.
We just came from a match where there were strikes, loud chops, loud kicks, and Kevin Steen and Jay Briscoe, to their credit, they started the match kind of slow. Collar and elbow tie-ups, and they were doing like elbows to the face and headbutts, but think of it audibly. Nothing. So we just came from a match. We came from a match with a lot of striking to another match with striking, but with no sound. And there were, I'm gonna say, there were a couple boos starting this matchup because people wanted to see basically a PWG Kevin Steen match. Him coming out hard hitting, bam, 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 bam. We didn't get it.
Well, that's the New York crowd too. The New York crowd doesn't like chain wrestling. They don't like the feeling out process. They want.
But they dug the chain wrestling earlier in the undercard.
Yeah, but
so
once
you're in the main event, you're right.
When it's 3 hours old, I think it gets.
And once you're in the main event, and especially after, I mean, when you follow Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards versus O'Reilly and Fish.
And plus, it's Kevin Steen. It's Jay Briscoe.
Yeah, I don't think the crowd like if it had been. I guess Daniel Bryan. If it had been him, then you kind of expect technical matches in the main events, because that's what he does. That's what he does.
I think
well.
Kevin Steen has sort of established himself as a brawler.
And Jay Briscoe
for the most part.
And
Jay Briscoe is also basically a brawler.
Right.
And that's not to say they can't, they don't have the ability, but expect a certain style from them at a certain point, given a lot of their recent characteristics and the fact that there is.
And in the
main event, this is also a feud as well. This isn't.
Oh, yeah.
This is a heated feud, so. Why are they chain wrestling? They're supposed to hate each other.
And Scum tried to come out. Now, during about halfway through the match, the entire locker room emptied to surround the ring to protect it from Scum. Scum came out from the curtain, oddly enough, and it was pretty much a standoff, and everyone was beating the crap out of each other.
So why didn't the referee call a no contest? Why?
Because Todd Sinclair knows how to work. And he's the best referee in the business.
So there were people in the ring as this match was going on.
Yes.
And they were brawling, but the referee didn't call for the bell.
No, they weren't in the ring. They were all surrounding the ring.
So they were surrounding the ring.
But Jay Briscoe and Kevin Steen were left in the ring without a referee because the referee was distracted.
The referee was doing other business.
But this is the big news out of this match. Matt Hardy came into the crowd. Grabbed Jay Briscoe, was about to hit him with the twist of fate. Kevin Steen kicked Matt Hardy in the gut and threw him out on his ass out of the ring.
So he kicked him in the gut and his foot didn't get stuck? I mean, that's kind of an upset, right?
Matt Hardy does not like mustard, okay?
That's a Fat Hardy joke, by the way. Continue, I'm sorry.
Clearly.
I mean, I have to
admit this. But this was the point of the match. Everyone cheered because it's pretty much Kevin Steen is not affiliated with Scum or something's happening. So,
right, I mean, I'm sure we're going to know a lot more after the TV tapings tomorrow.
Yes. But then pretty much Kevin Steen went for the J-Driller, then he went for a package pile driver. Jay Briscoe kicked out at 2 9/10. We thought the match was over.
And
my
I think that's
God.
If I had been there, I would have said there's going to be a title change.
Exactly. People stood up, and when Jay Briscoe finally hit that J-Driller on Kevin Steen, everyone counted the three, and
rightfully so.
It was honestly one of the most amazing pops I've ever been a part of. And I was there when Eddie Guerrero beat Brock.
I've been to WrestleManias. I'm going to say, this crowd popped. The roof came up. And I
bet it didn't beat CM Punk beating John Cena at Money in the Bank 2011.
Very few things do, but see, I wasn't there for that.
I was there for that. I had to say, I mean, I don't know. You mentioned Eddie Guerrero and Brock, so I had to mention...
Oh, so you had to name drop your moment.
I had to name drop my moment.
Awesome. No, but honestly, this was a tremendous match. And, you know, anyone that says that they, quote-unquote, knew Jay Briscoe was going to win, come on, dude. Don't,
morons.
Don't ruin this. Because this was the surprise... This is the surprise of the year, in my book, for Ring of Honor.
This was, I mean, it's a gutsy decision for once.
It absolutely is.
This is the company that hasn't made a gutsy decision since Eddie Edwards... won the Ring of Honor title, and the only reason that he won it, I'm still convinced of this, is because Roderick Strong was going to Japan, and they didn't want to have the title not defended for 3 months, so they gave it to Edwards instead. So this was a decision, I don't know what brought this on, whether this has sort of been in the books, or whether this is a recent decision, but this is one of the gutsier decisions that Ring of Honor has made, and I think it actually creates a buzz around the company for the first time in a long time.
It really does. And at the end of the night, Kevin Steen shook Jay Briscoe's hand. And I'm pretty sure the iPay-per-view went off the air because at the end, Jay Briscoe brought back...
Well, we don't know if the iPay-per-view went off the air because the iPay-per-view froze and went off the air.
Right. But at the end, Jay Briscoe asked for his old music, and they played it, and
people clapped. Oh, man, the crowd...
And I will say this with all my manliness intact... A couple of people in the crowd, it was a little musty.
There were some tears flowing.
It was a little dusty
in there, right?
Yes, it did. A little bit. But that was Ring of Honor. A fantastic show. I wish that a lot of people hadn't missed the pinfall. But
that's absolutely unacceptable.
That is, especially with it's that big of a moment.
And it's the second straight title change that this has happened for. Because with the Kevin Steen title change, you know, you had this buzz... surrounding Steen possibly winning the title, and then it got ruined because nobody got to see it. Mm-hmm. And I think I hope that doesn't happen here because I think it's such an extraordinary moment that you don't want to see it get ruined again by these external forces that Jay Briscoe, Kevin Steen can't control. And I think Jay Briscoe is someone who deserves the belt. You know, even if this is a lifetime achievement award, and if he loses the belt. At Border Wars, you know, he's earned this right. He's been with the company since the very beginning, since day one.
Yep.
He's done everything in the tag team division. You know, he's wrestled so many of the Ring of Honor champions and has put out great matches, both singles and tags, given his blood.
His tag matches to this day are some of the highest rated matches ever.
Right, and you know, when you look at modern tag team wrestling, you know, Jay Briscoe, Mark Briscoe, these are two guys that are right at the top of the list, arguably, with some of the best teams of the last 10, 15 years, because, I mean, obviously, tag team wrestling is diluted at this point, but, you know, it's great for Jay, it's great for Ring of Honor.
Red Dragon's a real team, though. They really are. They have really jumped.
Red Dragon's awesome. Yeah. I love how, I've said it before, O'Reilly and Fish are my favorite act in Ring of Honor. So I think they've got Briscoe with the belt, they've got Red Dragon with the tag belts. I think that positions them well as far as their upper card goes. That mid card, though, with that TV title around Matt Taven, is still...
He's got to come to his
very
own.
It's shaky.
Yeah.
And that scum angle, we'll see where it goes. I am not enthusiastic about it still. There's a lot of questionable talent that I think is in the group.
I will say that was something... It really felt all night long that the crowd was expecting a new member to debut here. And when no one did... I'm not going to say it made the 10-man tag flat, but it felt like we were waiting for something to happen, and it didn't happen.
Well, I think the 10-man tag was almost an afterthought. You know, it wasn't built up very big. I think the overall issue with this pay-per-view wasn't necessarily with the actual show, because it sounds really good, and obviously I haven't seen it, so I can't speak to the quality of it, but... It seems like the TV did such a poor job of building this show
absolutely.
In a great way so that people were enthusiastic about it, so people were looking forward to it, that when they got this show, it almost became better, it almost became this extraordinary experience. But if the TV had done a better job of building this, maybe Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor would have been thought of, because it feels like WrestleCon and Supercard of Honor were at least... in the online community being thought of, sort of thought of as being equal.
Neck to neck, yes.
Before today, I mean, obviously, Supercard of Honor now is sort of being thought of as this iconic Ring of Honor show, and maybe one of the best that Delirious has ever booked. But, you know, before this, you know, I think as many people were looking forward to the Evolve title tournament and DGUSA and Chikara as they were with Ring of Honor. I think if Ring of Honor had done a better job of establishing this pay-per-view, if they had aired the Jay Briscoe video package and they had aired that incredible promo, if they air that on TV, I think that makes a huge difference. And I think it's great that they release it online days before the show. I think that, you know, that may have gotten them some extra buys. But you have this TV show where there's a million people, so they say, watching. Why is it that they're not having those promos on that? Because I think the problem with the TV promos is they come off so scripted, and it doesn't come off as authentic.
They're kind of flat.
They are flat. And I don't think it's necessarily the performer's fault. I think they're sort of being handcuffed by the script or whomever, the writers or whatever.
Or the editing. It could be even just the edit, you know, because they
do. It strikes me as being more the way that the cadence of their speech changes when they're doing these TV promos and not for the better. Well, it comes across as inauthentic.
I can see that. I definitely could. The TV does not belie what it shows on the iPay-per-view. And I mean, because if your only exposure to Ring of Honor was just iPay-per-view,
I think if you just watched the house shows and the iPay-per-views, I think your Ring of Honor experience is significantly better than if you're only watching the TVs and the Ring of Honor iPay-per-views.
Yes.
I think your perception of Ring of Honor is very different.
Yes, absolutely.
Because I think the house shows have been really good. I think the wrestling's been really good. I mean, I think there's still some goofiness to that. But overall, I think the house shows have been... I think the wrestling overall since Delirious has taken over is
the house shows
better.
Are definitely... There's a little bit better pacing. There's a little bit of a better feel.
The wrestlers are actually trying on the house shows where they weren't when Jim Cornette was in charge.
Yes, I can
see
that.
That's what I think.
So speaking of perception, though, let's talk about the crowd a little. So I got to
see
both.
Right, I know this is a big issue for you.
Yes, and it is because... And I don't want people to feel like I'm trying to alienate any group of fans, because, you know, we all go to wrestling shows to enjoy them, so I don't think anyone is purposely trying to ruin it. But seeing the Evolve crowd and how they reacted to the matches, and clearly, Jerome, we talked about this.
Yes.
It was a storytelling within the matches. And then you go to Ring of Honor, where what happened in the matches made sense. Maybe the, you know, the roll-up finish is not so great, but it still made sense within the context of the match and the story. For example, you know, I could defend the roll-up because Kyle O'Reilly rolled up Davey Richards. He rolled up his former mentor. And it's kind of like, I may not be as good as you, but I did pin you. And it would, you know, may have been a fluke, but it's a win. A win's a win. But then when you put that context into Evolve where it didn't quite makes sense, and I just feel that the crowds reacted appropriately. One crowd reacted in the sense that there were so many chants at the Evolve while I was there, just, you know, get to the wrestling or what is this and da 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 da. And then at the Ring of Honor show, everything made sense and the crowd was into it.
Well, there was also probably not as much talking at the Ring of Honor show. There was a lot of talking during Evolve, and there was a lot of talking during CZW too.
Right, so, okay, so Jerome, you gotta tell us about that.
You finish your crowd discussion.
Yeah, first. Okay, so my thing is, what is it about the crowds? And, you know, I think this is more of a booking and management issue.
I think it is, too. I don't think they have storylines. That's the Vault's problem.
Right, and they need to focus on those, and they need to focus on the crowds that they're going to say, hey, because, you know, let's be honest. Certain storylines and certain actions get across and certain crowds better than others. The Philly crowd is not like the New York crowd. The New York crowd is not, you know, like the New Jersey crowd. The New Jersey crowd is not like the Florida crowd, and, you know, so on and so forth. So book appropriately for your audience. I think that's about as basic as it gets. And when you know what your audience will react to, and when the talents know, obviously, you know, I'm not going to say maybe it's not 100% the booker, you know, it's a mixture of the booker and the talents and getting over what their match is about. But, man, do it right, you know.
Well, I think these bookers are so stuck in their own bubbles that I think that's, they sort of get into habits, and their bad habits are tough to break.
Oh, it's kind of like the WWE mold, where they're like, okay, well, in WWE, the WWE goes to every city, everywhere, and they pretty much booked the same, so why can't we do it? Well, you're not the WWE. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, either. I think that's a very good thing.
Well, Evolve's booking tonight was really inexplicable, because they've never really had that many really awkward finishes, you know?
Right.
They've generally been pretty good with finishes. I mean, some of the angles have gotten over like a fart in church, but, you know, most of the time, my complaint usually isn't with the finishes, if that makes sense.
No, it does. And sometimes the storytelling within, like we were talking about the Sami Callihan thing. He just enters the ring, and all of a sudden, hey, what happened to his leg? What? And then for him to be in the finals, and that played really no part, at least according to you, a very minor part in the end. That's, you know, what is that? I mean, can we say that's bad booking? Is that bad? Is that
it's bad? Talent? A lot of things. It's bad storytelling.
It's bad storytelling.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, it's a continuity issue. Anyway, that was pretty much my little rant on the crowd, because I feel it has to be said. And, you know, hey, I'll probably get some, hey, you know, send me your messages, cgstong@pwponderings.com. Let me know what you think. If you agree, you disagree, you know, whatever. But to me, this is just one of those topics that I just had to bring up because I got to see it. I got to see a pure dichotomy of it. I saw the Evolve, and I saw the Ring of Honor.
There's a professional wrestler somewhere in this world called Dusto Bunny for Kaiju Big Battle. Dusto Bunny and Steam Power Tentacle Boulder fall to hack and slash after Boulder is distracted. I don't even know what that means. Is that a sentence?
Thank you, Jerome. I was waiting for results, and my heart was all a Twitter for them, and you have...
Heart a Twitter, I get that. I see what you did there. God.
Yeah,
so let's talk about CZW.
It's 1:25 a.m.
So CZW was a very different show than Evolve. I think the crowd was a little bit more into things overall than they were at Evolve.
Can you explain that to me? Because it's essentially the same people.
No.
Oh, okay.
Very different crowd.
Tell me about it.
I mean, there were some people that were similar, like Jason Serlacki, that fucker, and his friends, and JP Nichols was there, Ben Turpin was there. But yeah,
for the... Do you think this was a different crowd? It's still New Jersey fans. It was
very different.
Okay.
I think it was more local than it was...
At the Evolve?
Than it was at the Evolve. Okay. I think a lot of the people who traveled went to Ring of Honor. That's what I think.
Okay.
I think they went from Evolve to Ring of Honor more so. So,
how was the crowd at CZW? I mean, size-wise.
I mean, they were okay. I mean, it wasn't
blow-away, was it?
It wasn't blow-away. They were better. I will say that. I mean, they were definitely better. But I want to talk about AR Fox again because he wrestled in the main event of the Evolve show, and then he wrestled in the opening match of the Aerial Assault.
It's like back-to-back, essentially. I mean, how long was the time in between?
I would say an hour and 20 minutes.
So his body had enough time?
He didn't sell at all, which is funny. So AR Fox defeated Kiva Kid. Kiva Kid was unmasked. I did not hear his real name.
Right. Okay.
You saw his face, Andrew though, huh? Something. But he was unmasked. I mean, he looks like a cross between Adam Cole and Jakob Hammermeyer, if that makes sense. And he wrestled.
I've seen his face, so yeah.
So the other people involved were Shane Hollister, Shane Strickland, Rich Swann, and Lucky 13. AR Fox pinned Lucky 13 after connecting with the low main pain. This is a really good match. Another really good opener. CZW's had some really good openers lately. Going back to 14, Cage of Death. So this was another in a long line of them. They really got the crowd into things, and that in a good way.
No, and you need that. You need a strong opener.
You definitely need a strong opener, and CZW, for all the criticisms that they get, some of them which are justified, they really know how to get the crowd into things, and this was a really good match. And then they took the box down. So the aerial assault, there's a box, so it makes things a little bit easier so that they can do their aerial stuff. And then Joe Gacy and Matt Tremont sort of went into things right away. And as much as I made fun of Joe Gacy, Joe Gacy actually put on a pretty decent performance here, and he defeated Matt Tremont via the Boston Crab submission knockout, forcing a bloody Matt Tremont to pass out. So I'm assuming that this feud is going to continue with that. They're really trying to elevate Gacy. Gacy did a springboard moonsault, of all things, which I did not see coming at all. Didn't see that coming. Joe Gacy. You know what Joe Gacy looks like, right?
Yes.
He did a springboard moonsault, Chris Jericho style, and he hit it. It actually looked pretty good.
Hey, kudos to him, man. With his girth, that's
so impressive. There was blood. It was something. It was fine. It was fine. Excuse me.
Blood.
In a CZW match, I know, I'm shocked. So then there was the 8-man tag, no DQs, falls count anywhere match, as the Gulak campaign defeated the front, and Gulak submits Niles Sozio. He used the Gulak, which is a dragon, the modified dragon sleeper.
Yeah.
This was fine. Nothing spectacular. Drew Gulak is rapidly becoming one of my favorite wrestlers.
Absolutely.
On the independent scene. I love him. He and Biff Busick. I don't know if the cameras caught this. I certainly hope they did, but they had just a ridiculous exchange. They were going all around the ring, and they were in the crowd, and Biff Busick almost took like a couple of fans with him as he was getting tossed into chairs. And anyone who's watched their matches against each other in wrestling is respect and beyond wrestling. They know that these two are really physical guys, and they have just... Even their crowd brawling is pretty intense, so props to them on that. Drew Gulak had a really good night. I really liked the tag match. He was in it, Evolve. Yep. I really liked this match as well. And Kimberly also looked pretty good from what I could tell. I don't know if it was after this match or if it was after a later match, but it was announced that the final team in WSU's Queen King Tournament is going to be Ahar Fox and Athena, which makes the DVD an easy buy for me because those are probably one of my favorite male performers and one of my favorite female performers. So then, Chris, we had the worst finish of the night.
Are you sure about that?
I would say so.
Okay.
Because I hated this finish. I hated this more than Davis and Fox.
Okay.
So it was Black out of Ruckus and Black Keys against the Catalyst of Dustin Reyes and Eric Ryan.
Oh, no.
So the Catalyst were the champions, but they never possessed the belts.
Right. Black
then they lost
belt.
The championships, the metaphorical championships, after a belt shot to the head, which is the dumbest possible finish. I hate it so much. In CZW, people get hit with chairs,
glass.
Barbed wire, and glass. We'll talk about that later. And then I forget if it was Reyes or Ryan, they got hit with the belt and they jobbed. And then Blackout cut a promo. I didn't care because there was a lot of talking on this show. Greg Excellent and Colt Cabana had a comedy match. They did the Bret Hart Owen Hart WrestleMania 10 finish.
Oh, the victory roll.
Yes.
Oh, the promo.
They did it. They literally did it. The reverse victory roll.
Reverse victory roll.
So Colt Cabana did the Undertaker pose at one point. He was like on one knee and he did this.
Uh-huh.
Greg Excellent tried to beat Colt Cabana with the rock bottom, if you remember, get it.
Yeah. Punk, yeah.
So they were trying to be cute. Excellent tried to hit Colt Cabana with the go to sleep. So this was a lot of fun. There was a lot of interaction with Greg Excellent's mom, who was at ringside. Cabana actually made out with Greg Excellent's mom. Which,
wow.
There's a visual. Chris, I know at 1:30 in the morning, this is what you want to hear.
It is. Now we know what I'm going to be dreaming about.
Yeah, not a hooker at least. Very important.
Yes, got to keep it classy.
I think we killed that for a little while. But this was fun. It's very different from anything else on either show.
They're lighting the crowd. I mean, because it's a CZW crowd, so they're pretty intense.
Most of the crowd was into this. There were a few negative Nancys that didn't like it.
Yeah, they want to be what they are.
But, you know, screw them.
Yep. You have to have a light match. You have to. You just...
I mean, I think it depends on the... I think
well, yeah, okay, but I mean...
The right people have to be doing it, too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Colt Cabana are the right people to do it.
Yes.
And Cabana, by far, the most over person on either the Evolve or CZW show. Wasn't even close. Cabana was over by far.
Masada?
No, Cabana got a much larger reaction than Masada.
Damn it, people.
Maybe Kasai and Masada were close.
Okay.
But Cabana was definitely...
on. Yes. Anyway.
Ultraviolet Rules match. It was Drake Younger and Danny Havoc. So these two guys killed each other.
Did Younger bleed?
Chris, I know you're going to be stunned by this.
Okay.
But he bled.
God, that guy's usually so clean, you know what I mean?
So Drake Younger and Danny Havoc are having... So if you remember, there's the Drake Younger-Sammy Callahan match is basically that. Except Drake Younger, and they introduced a staple gun into the proceedings. And Drake Younger, he stapled Danny Havoc's tongue. Don't ask.
I'm just gonna watch it.
So Danny Havoc, he also stapled Drake Younger's cheeks. He stapled a lottery ticket to his right side and a dollar bill to his left side. So this was the match for you if you like Ultraviolet. But check this out. It gets better. So this Ultraviolet rules match ends in a no contest after Lucky at 13 interfered and forced the referee to toss the match out. They've been brawling and using every weapon imaginable. They used a chair. They used chairs, tables. Drake Younger pile drove Danny Havoc through a table. Got a two count. But this was a no contest because Lucky 13 was drunk.
I didn't even think you could have a no contest in an old Ultraviolet.
Well, they did that with Christina Von Erie and Masada.
Yeah, but that's because she's a woman.
Well, no, that has nothing to do with it.
I know.
So that was bad. Another really terrible finish on this show.
That is kind of ridiculous. But I'm still going to watch it and enjoy it.
Because you're a sadist.
I know.
So then we had the intermission at 10:30 that went for 20 minutes.
Tremendous.
And then we came back with the international tag team match of OI4K, or as I like to call them, OINK. David J. Chris defeated the Sumerian Death Squad.
Is that really international? Is it?
Yeah. Tommy Ann and Michael Dante are not from this country.
Fine.
They're not from this country. Of course it's international.
Okay. Fair enough.
So they defeated Tommy Ann and Michael Dante. I was surprised that N took the pinfall here because he is the 2013-16 carat winner. And the Chris brothers hit a double stomp tombstone combo leading into a pinfall on Tommy Ann. So
they are so good.
Irish Airborne, really good. I expect them to face Blackout pretty soon. Special attraction match, Sammy Callahan defeated Brian Kendrick versus via stretch muffler. Sammy Callahan did not sell his leg at all. So the continuity from involved with CZW does not exist.
As it should. They are two different promotions.
Yeah, but
it's a different universe.
I'm gonna put my Jim Cornette hat on for a second here.
I'm just saying.
It's the same day as a previous show. You should be selling the injury.
Yes, but if people who buy it won't really know that. So what if Sammy Callahan's selling his leg?
So you say earlier on the Evolve show, Sammy Callahan had his leg injured. What is it? Or you could say, you don't even need to say the company's name. You could say, on a show earlier today, Sammy Callahan injured his leg.
Do you,
something to watch out for.
Do you hear yourself? You're asking for sense in wrestling.
I got to stop that. Me and TJ Hawk are trying, and
you're trying for a better wrestling, and
We are campaigning for a better professional wrestling, and it's not working.
Yes. The front is too large.
So we had the special attraction match. Sammy Callahan defeated Brian Kendrick. This was fine. This was definitely a toned down.
Oh yeah.
Sammy Callahan match. I guess Brian Kendrick actually helped here. So then we had the glass barbed wire and gusset plate death match. Like fence. It's like a
picket
fence.
Yeah.
So Masada retained the CZW title over Jun Kasai, but that doesn't even really begin to tell. This was a title match, which added.
Fantastic.
I thought it was a non-title match.
Right. No, I was remembering that.
If you picture the ring, you picture the square.
Yeah.
You have one side.
Yeah, with the chain link fence.
So you've got the ropes.
Right.
Then you've got barbed wire. Then you've got the two corners. One has glass, and then kitty corner has glass.
Yes.
So the first one, Masada just went through the glass. The second one, the glass was put on top of Masada,
and
Jun Kasai put his goggles on, and then he dove through the glass.
Oh, he dove into him. That's a fantastic spot. There is a spot where, I think it was Masada, put glass in front of someone's face, and elbow smashed the glass right into the guy's face. It's a fantastic spot.
So
I know you're not into death matches, but that's fantastic.
So then the most disgusting spot by far was when Masada hit a drop toe hold on Kasai into the fence. And there was skin flying off.
Oh!
And Kasai was a freaking bloody mess. This match was so bloody. And then Christina Von Erie came in and ruined everything.
You have me questioning why I went to Ring of Honor and I just saw a fantastic finish.
No, I would have definitely gone to Ring of Honor.
You and I would have switched.
About this finish.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, okay. Explain the finish.
So Christina Von Erich comes in, and she becomes involved, and Masada wins on a messed up Tiger driver. It looked like Kasai slipped. I don't know if it was blood, sweat, whatever. But it looked like Kasai kind of got dropped on his head a little bit. Out of all things, I mean, and they
under what?
Like the Tiger driver, he kind of slipped and he fell.
Right, no, but I mean, what was it, like under barbed wire? Was it on glass? Whoa!
It was just on the mat.
Oh, just on the mat. Okay.
And then Masada covers and gets three, and then he and Christina Von Erich are celebrating. So
I like how we make that sound so plain. Oh, it's just a Tiger driver on the mat, you know? Because in any other match, that would have been a super finish,
Could have been the finish.
Yes.
So I guess Christina Von Erich and Masada are together, and Masada's a heel now.
He's something. But it doesn't matter.
I like Masada a lot.
He's a great champion.
But this finish did not go over well with the crowd.
No, okay, yeah, probably
not. But people
not.
Love Hugh Kasai, so it's all good.
I think clearly some of us wanted to see a death.
I didn't want to see anyone die.
No.
The match was crazy. I mean, if you like death matches, you probably really like this.
Absolutely.
And for $10, I would say this is a show worth watching. I don't know if it came across because I complained a lot about the finishes, but there was a lot of good wrestling on this show. There was some comedy. The opener alone is almost worth it by itself. I really liked Kendrick and Sami Callihan. It was definitely a much better Sami Callihan match than what was on the Evolve shows.
So it sounds like both you and I saw one really good, highly recommendable show.
I think the Ring of Honor show sounds like one of the best of three or four years.
And then we saw...
And the CZW show was good.
Yeah, no, I mean, recommend it. We would recommend
it. It sounds like Ring of Honor, CZW, Evolve. That's
You'll have to wait until you see it, yes, to be a little
more... Right, that's what it sounds like. Based on how you've... how it comes across.
And it sounds like people on Twitter were pretty happy, too, with Ring of Honor. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, they were happy that Briscoe won, but they weren't happy about...
Right, the
situation that with the IP from
I'm gonna probably look online later to see what some of the tweets were about the tag match, because that was a great match except for the roll up, which still I would say you can still argue made sense, but.
So yeah, that was our night.
That was our night.
That was our night of wacky wrestling, and I saw 18 matches tonight, and I get to see 27 more tomorrow.
I'm going to Shimmer.
Chikara, and I'm going to Dragon Gate USA. You are going to Chikara and Dragon Gate USA. We're also going to be at WrestleCon. We're going to try to get some interviews with people. So stay tuned for that. But for right now...
We've talked for 72 minutes.
Yeah, this was a 72-minute podcast. We are not going to plug...
anything.
Twitter.com/PWPonderings. Keep going for results. Dez is in charge of the website. I'm sure he's doing a wonderful job. If he's not, believe me, we'll take care of that when we get back.
Yes.
He will see our wrath. Yes. Is what he will do. So for Chris GST, I'm John Cusad. I'm going to finish this beer, and then I'm going to go to bed.